I'll ask Fred to come forward and do our scripture reading for us today. Fred, we've got three short texts that I'd like to share with you and then preach through. They will be on the screen in front of you. Please do follow them and engage with the scripture, and we want to try and make it our own this morning.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The light is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. We're reading the text now from Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace from God our Father. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And the Great Commission, from Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
This is the word of God. Thank you, Fred. So I quite enjoy Peanuts comics. Well, I enjoy any kind of comic, really. At Tiger Valley downstairs, there's a comic shop. I don't know if you've seen it. I actually went in there this week with the boys and just astounded, just shelves and shelves of comics. I didn't know there were so many. But I like these simple ones. You can't quite see the words there, and so I'm going to read it to you. So Lucy says, aren't the clouds beautiful? They look like big balls of cotton. I could just lie here all day and watch them drift by. If you use your imagination, you can see lots of things in the clouds, formations and things. What do you think? What do you see, Linus? Linus says, well, these clouds up there look to me like the map of the British Honduras on the Caribbean. That cloud up there looks a little like the profile of Thomas Eakins, the famous painter and sculptor. And that group of clouds over there gives me the impression of the stoning of Stephen. I can see the Apostle Paul standing there by one side. Lucy goes, that's very good. What do you see in the clouds, Charlie Brown? Well, I was going to say I see a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind. So if your life was represented in the clouds, as a series of pictures. I wonder if you would see God there. Think about that for a moment. Your life was represented in the clouds. Would you spot, would you see God there? You may have looked at that collection of readings that Fred read for us this morning and say, now what's the common theme in those readings? Well, it's quite simply this. Each of those readings speak to the wonderful, amazing, mind-blowing truth that God is with us. That God is with us. That God is a present God. He's not an absent landlord, as some people say he is. Can you imagine serving a God who's just out there somewhere, made the earth, sorts a mess, and then just pushed off and kept himself busy with other things, like some of us do with our swimming pools, just left to its own devices? Can you imagine serving that kind of God? It would be terrible. I would hate it. I would probably feel obliged to serve him because I'd be terrified of what he did to me if I didn't serve him. And so out of fear and anxiety, I would follow this God. But the God of Jesus Christ, we read in Scripture, is one who is revealed as a father, one who is loving, one who is compassionate. When you just look at the life of Jesus, you get in a picture of what God is like. In fact, the Bible says when you look at Jesus, you're seeing God. So lots of people say, what does God look like? The kids have asked me at times, what does God look like? Well, just look at what Jesus looked like. And in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you read there, you just read of a guy that is amazing. There's a guy who the crowds flocked after. People loved Jesus. They loved hanging out with him. They loved being with him. They loved just being in his presence, in his company. They would do anything just to touch Jesus or be close to him. That's how incredible God is. There's a God that you want to hang out with, a God that you want to be with. And so when Jesus was born, the angels trumpeted out that his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Perhaps you haven't heard that before. Emmanuel means God with us. And so Jesus came and live amongst us. And that's the Christmas message, isn't it? I don't know where you went on Christmas Day or on Christmas Eve, but I'm fairly confident whether it was this church or any other church, you would have heard the message that God came near in the form of his son Jesus. God came and lived amongst us. And then that incredible text right at the end in Matthew 28, and I will be with you always to the end of time. The last promise Jesus gave before he went up to heaven, the most important thing he could perhaps say is, yes, go and tell the world about me, but I will be with you always. God is loving and God is present and God is here. Rick Warren is an American pastor, wrote a good book called The Purpose-Driven Life. He says in that book that we are as close to God as we choose to be. I thought that was quite a good statement. So God is present. He is always with us. Even when we don't worship him, even when we've disowned him, even when we're living rebelliously and selfishly, he's present. And he says you only get to be as close to God as you choose to be. It's like God is standing right in front of you, and it's us that's backpedaling. And as we backpedal, God takes a step closer. But we get to experience the reality of that in a way that we choose. You see, if we are living our lives completely for self, then we will never get to have space to see and experience God. Because you can't practice the presence of your own self and practice the presence of God being with you at the same time. It's not possible. There's not space for two of you. And so I suspect that you and I have a great challenge, and that is to see ourselves as smaller so that we can see God as being bigger. Can I say that again? Because it's quite a big statement, actually. I suspect that you and I have to learn to see ourselves as being smaller. Not belittling ourselves, I don't mean that. But just seeing ourselves as being smaller in order to see how big God is. And so I want to share with you a couple of things this morning about how you and I can actually allow God to come closer. Allow him into our space. We talk about personal bubbles. That's a very Western thing. Allow God into our personal bubble. Because God wants you to know his presence. He's not satisfied with just being God out there. He wants to be God up close and personal in your and my life. And so I read a book some years ago by a guy called Trevor Hudson. He's a Methodist preacher and he's an author. And in one of his books, he shares three things. So this is not mine. This is Trevor Hudson's, but I'm sharing it with you. Three things that he says are really helpful in order to allow God into your personal bubble. And they are, he says, turning the mind regularly in Christ's direction, keeping constantly thankful, and doing everything we do for God. And I'll unpack that briefly. So firstly, turning the mind regularly in Christ's direction. So Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above. And Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So of course this is not a physical fixing of your eyes, because then you're going to have an accident in your car and your family is going to think that you're not interested in them. So it's not a physical fixing, but it's the fixing of your heart on God. It's kind of thinking about God, being aware of God, maybe having our thoughts in his direction. A guy called Frank Laubach was a missionary in the last century. He writes, on the 3rd of January 1930, that he directed his mind Godwardly for 1 second out of every minute. So he writes in his diary, from today, I'm going to do a little experiment, he called it a holy experiment, and for every kind of minute, he would try and just have a brief Jesus and carry on with what he was doing. Jesus, carry on what he's doing. And 29 days later, this is what he writes in his diary. The sense of being led by an unseen hand, which takes mine, while another hand reaches ahead and prepares the way, grows upon me daily. I do not need to strain at all to find the opportunity. It piles upon me as waves roll over on the beach. And yet there is a time to do something about each opportunity. I feel like one who has had a violin out of tune his whole life, playing in an orchestra, suddenly in tune and in harmony with the music of the universe. It's a bit of a mouthful, but what he's kind of saying is, he felt like his life was always out of tune, but when he started doing this thing about just thinking about God for 1 second, it's like something came into alignment in his life. Began to make sense. And he felt as though there was this beauty crashing upon his life, wave after wave. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that thought quite attractive, of having my life in tune with the universe. Do you identify with that? Just feeling like my life fits. Feel like my life is making sense. That I'm in the right place doing the right things. I long for that, and I think you do too. And this missionary is saying that a great part of that is about just thinking about God, fixing your eyes on Jesus. And so I did something this week, which was something I'd heard of before and never done, but I decided to set on my phone a little ping on the hour. So some of your phones can do it without the aid of an app. I have an Apple iPhone and it can't do that. And so I had to download a little app called Chimes. And all that it does is on the hour, it sends a little ping out. And when I hear that ping sound, I just think about Jesus for a moment. You know the interesting thing that's been happening when I do that, since I've done that this week, is when I hear other pings, and your phones all ping all the time, the people around you's phones ping all the time, but you know what's happening is every time I hear a ping, I think of Jesus. It's been quite a simple thing. And I encourage you to do that. Something really practical. Because most of us will go through our day and really struggle to think about God because we're busy. Life is full. And so when I say to you, think about Jesus, it's like, oh, I'd love to be able to, but man, I get to the end of the day and I go, oh, shucks, it's gone. I didn't think about Jesus once. Something really practical and really easy. We need to be aware of the presence of God in our lives. Secondly, keep constantly thankful. Trevor Hudson says, keep constantly thankful. Gratitude is one of the best ways to engage with God, and one of the easiest, probably. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Gratitude is an easy way for us to experience God in our lives. James 1 verse 16 and 17 says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So if there's anything good in your life, it's from God. Goes on to say, coming down from the Father who does not change. It's always a gift-giving God. And so if you can think of anything good in your life, a person, an event, situation, your home, your job, think of something that's good in your life. That's a gift from God. And one of the easiest ways that you can say is to say thank you in the morning when you get up. Just start your day off. I find that the easiest time. Just start off the day while I'm lying in bed before you hop out and get crazy in the day. Say, God, I just want to thank you for a good night's sleep. Thank you that you watched over my family. Thank you that we went to bed with full tummies and that I know I can feed them this morning in a couple of minutes' time. Thank you for a healthy body. Just a couple of things, and then I start my day. But something else that I found really helpful is to say thank you to people around you, to show gratitude to people, because the Bible seems to teach us that the way you love the people around you is the way you love God. Did you know that? So if you love God, you're terrible to the people around you, well, then the Bible says you don't love God. So God kind of says, if you want to show your love to me, it's quite difficult to show love to God. He says, if you want to show your love to me, then show love to the people around you. And so I think if you want to show gratitude to God, you show gratitude to the people around you, just to say thank you. Thank you to the shop assistant. Thank you to your husband, to your wife. Thank you to your kids. Even thank you to your boss. I can even say that. Just to show gratitude to the people around us. And when we do that, it's like God breaks through into our lives. So that's a second way that you and I can encounter God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And so that's our third thing. Do everything you do for God. Let me read that again. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So there's a story, and let me read it to you, otherwise I'll fluff it. Three masons were building a cathedral. When asked about what they were doing, the first mason answered, I'm putting one stone upon another in order to build a wall. The second mason said, I'm working so that I can purchase food and clothing for myself and for my family. But when asked, the third mason replied, I am building a house of God so that the people may know God's presence and God's joy. So it's three approaches to your work. The one is, I'm just doing it because, well, it's a job. I need to do it. The other is, I'm doing it so that I can feed and clothe my family. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a third attitude, isn't it? I'm doing this in order to glorify God. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, but of course by doing it, I am pleasing and honoring God. By being who I am in this workspace, I am reflecting something of God. So a lot of what you and I do, perhaps even as a pastor, is not particularly religious. You may be shocked to hear this. A lot of what I do as a pastor is not particularly spiritual. And I think that's true for most professions. And yet, when I do what I do with God in mind, it becomes spiritual. Does that make sense to you? It becomes a kind of a holy, beautiful thing. So whether you're a teacher or a tax consultant or a gardener or whatever your role in society is, when I'm doing it in a way that is pointed in God's direction, then something beautiful and worshipful happens. And God comes near. It's a beautiful story. I heard it a long, long time ago, and I may not say it exactly right. But a minister preached a sermon in a church about that your workspace is your ministry. So you don't have to be a pastor to have a ministry. See, we're kind of saying whatever you do, that's your ministry. And this one is a bus driver, and he struggled. Now, I'm a bus driver. This is supposedly a true story. I'm a bus driver. How on earth can being a bus driver be a ministry? And so he went to speak to the pastor in the week, and the pastor said to him, I want you to do this. Every time you get on your bus in the morning, you open the door, you get on, I want you to say out loud, I declare this bus a sanctuary, and I the minister thereof. I declare this bus a sanctuary, and I the minister thereof. And the story goes that he came back to his pastor later and just shared how it had changed his life, changed his job, and that customers, the people came on his bus, would speak about that something was different about his bus. Now, I practically would encourage you this morning to say, I declare my, whatever your bus is, what's your bus? I declare my place of work a sanctuary, and I the minister thereof. Would you say that in your heart right now? I declare this place, and you say what it is, a sanctuary. In other words, a place of worship, and I the minister thereof. Will you say that? So in conclusion, God wants us to know his presence. And so if we turn our minds regularly in Christ's direction, if we stay constantly thankful and grateful, and if we do everything that we do for God, then the presence of Jesus will rush in on your life. Would you know the presence of God? That is, it's the first day of the new year, and I kind of prayed long and hard, God, what do you want me to say? And I felt God wanted to say, let my people know that I am with them. I don't know what's in store for you this year. I actually get kind of goosebumpy while I'm saying this. I have no clue what life is. There's going to be some awesome moments. Because we're human, there's going to be some terrible moments. But I want you to know, as you start this year off, Jesus wants you to know. He says, I am with you. You will never face anything this year on your own. You will never deal with anything on your own. Whatever lies ahead, hear these words. On the 1st of January 2017, Jesus says, I am with you always until the end. Amen. Let's just pray for a brief moment. Come, Lord Jesus. It's actually all I want to pray. Those simple words. Come, Lord Jesus. Make us attentive this year to the beautiful fragrance of your presence. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.